Pamgachi. That's in Janudvipati, the other side of the Ganga. And he was a great devotee of Gaur Nitaya. He used to, in the Kirtan pastimes, he was there at Srivasangam. Other places, he was very otherworldly character. He would slap tigers around the face like as if they were little kittens or something like that. And sometimes a poisonous snake on his lap and he would play with it just like a, and to do his bhajan so he wouldn't get any disturbance, sometimes he would go and sit in the Ganga, under the Ganga, for about 3 days or something like that, and do his japa there. For anyway, he had a... Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would often ask him, you should make disciples. He always avoided. Then he used to go and beg some rice in the morning and cook for his deities after taking bath in the Ganga and then worship his deities. Then he would go across the river and see Lord Chaitanya at Shivashangam night time. And one time again Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, Murari, you must take disciples. And Sharanga Thakur, he said that if one gets a good disciple, who is a qualified disciple, can follow everything nicely, then he becomes a glory. He becomes a glory to the spiritual master. He becomes a glory to the sampradaya. He becomes so glorious. Everyone is happy with such qualified disciple. But unfortunately, I don't see any qualified disciples, any qualified persons in the age of Kali. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu laughed. He said, yes, you're right, Murari, but if you give them an association and initiation, then they'll become qualified. So Murari made up his mind, okay, Mahaprabhu wants this, I'll have to do it. So he said, the first person I see in the morning, I'll make my disciple. So he went to take bath in the Ganga in the morning, early morning, as usual practice. One dead body came floating down the Ganga and touched his body. And it's custom, this boy had died of a snake bite, and it's the custom in some villages that if they die of a snake bite, then you don't burn the body or bury the body. You make a little bamboo raft and you put the body and you just float it down the Ganga. Because sometimes medically they're dead after being bitten by a snake. But sometimes they come to life again after a snake bite, but somehow or another, after many, many days they can. Maybe it's such a deep state of unconscious. So I think they have this practice for this purpose. They put him on the Ganga, on a raft. He's dead, but as far as everyone's concerned. But just in case, he may come alive again. So Murari, he saw the dead body come floating. So he touched the boy body with his foot. Immediately the boy came alive again. Then he whispered Krishna's mantra in his ear and initiated him. So the boy is very happy. And he said, just the day before, yesterday, he said, I was actually going to take initiation from someone else. I was on my way to the Guru's place to get initiation, and I got bitten by a snake and I died. But anyway, now you've fulfilled my desire. I've got the Guru, you've initiated me and I'm alive. So he was staying with Murari, everyone was happy. After some time, the family came to find out, and so they went to see Murari. His name was Murari. They went to see him, and they said, oh, our son, you've come back to life. There, everyone was so happy. He said, so let's go back to home. He said, what home? There's no, we're your mum and dad, and this is our house, is in this village. No, your son died. You threw him in the Ganga. He's not living anymore. Now, Sharanga Thakur, he is my father. He has given me real birth, second birth. Third birth, Vaishnava. So, he became famous as Sharanga's Murari, or Murari Chaitanya. So there's a big bokul tree there in his garden, which he used to do his puja in the temple there. He worshipped the deities of Madan and Radha Gopinath. You can still see those deities there in Mamgachi. And the big bokul tree is still there. He used to give a lot of shade, and so many flowers, scented flowers, were coming from that tree. Mahaprabhu would go past there on his way to school sometimes, Vidyanaga. He would go to, and he would pass that place and he would stop in the Simarari, Sranga Thakur. And that tree developed some kind of rotten, became hollow inside. Only the bark was intact, but there was all inside was the hole there. You can still see, you go in there now. I think it's filling out again now, but it's kind of all hollow inside. But it was started to go hollow and die, and so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Saranga, what are you going to do about your tree? Look, it looks like it's leaving. Saranga said, I really don't know what to do. So then Mahaprabhu, he embraced that tree. And then it came back to life again. And all the flowers come out, and all the leaves come on again. And still you can see that tree today. It's called Siddha Bokul, because it was brought to life by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Krishna Lili, he was Nandi Mukhi, Gopi. Appeared in Gaulila as Srangataka. Srangataka Uttarabhav Mahot Saptiti Ki. Hare Krishna. What number is this? 31. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vikashato
Anta
Kirdayad
Dashi
Patim
Ajamilam
Yama
Prestyan
Vishnu Duta
Varayam
Ashur
Ojasa
Vikashato Antare Haityat
Dasi
Pati Majamilam
Yama
Prestam
Vishnu Duta
Varayam Ashur Ojasa Vikashato antahideyat Dasipati majamilam
Yama
prestyam Vishnu
duta
Arayam ashurojasa Vikashato antahideyat Dasipati majamilam
Yamu
Prasyan Vishnu
Duta
Varyam Ashurojasa. Vikashato Anti Hidaya Asapati Matamilam
Yamu Prasyan Vishnu Duta.
Vikashato antar
hidaya
Vikashato antar hidaya Yama Prasyan Vishnu Duta
Arayama Surojasa
Vayama Surojasa Yama Prasyan Vishnu Duta Sipati Hanukuru Yama Prasyan Vishnu Duta Vayama Surojasa Asi pati mama tinyela Yama pratyam vishnu duta Ayama surojasam Vikashata Snatching Anta hirdayat From within the heart Dashipatim, the husband of the prostitute, Ajamilim, Ajamil, Yama Prasyan, the messages of Yamaraj, Vishnu Duta, the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, Varayam, Ashu, forbade, Ojasa, with resounding voices. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, Bhavacharanarvinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki. Okay. The order carriers of Yamaraj were snatching the soul from the craw of the heart of Ajamil, the husband of the prostitute, but with resounding voices, the messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, forbade them to do so. Please repeat. The order carriers of Yamaraj were snatching the soul from the craw of the heart of Ajamila, the husband of the prostitute. But with resounding voices, the messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, forbade them to do so. Therefore, a Vaishnava, one who has surrendered to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu, is always protected by Lord Vishnu's order carriers. Because Ajamil had chanted the holy name of Narayana, the Vishnu Dutas not only immediately arrived on the spot, but also at once ordered the Yamadutas not to touch him. By speaking with resounding voices, the Vishnu Dutas threatened to punish the Yamadutas if they continued trying to snatch Ajamil's soul from his heart. The order carriers of Yamaraj have jurisdiction over all sinful living entities, but the messengers of Lord Vishnu, the Vishnu Dutas, are capable of punishing anyone, including Yamaraj, if he wrongs a Vaishnava. Materialistic scientists do not know where to find the soul within the body with their material instruments. But this verse clearly explains that the soul is within the craw of the heart, Hridaya. It is from the heart that the Yamadutas were extracting the soul of Ajamil. Similarly, we learn that the Supreme Lord Vishnu is also situated in the heart. Ishvara Sarvabhutanam Hridideshi Arjuna Tishtati. In the Upanishads, it is said that the super soul and the individual soul are living in the same tree of the body as two friendly birds. The super soul is said to be friendly because the personality of Godhead is so kind to the original soul that when the original soul transmigrates from one body to another, the Lord goes with him. Furthermore, according to the desire and karma of the individual soul, through the agency of the Lord, through the agency of Maya, creates another body for him. The heart of the body is a mechanical arrangement. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Ishvara sarvabhutanam hridesya junatishtati brahmayam sarvabhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated on a machine made of the material energy. Yantra means machine, such as an automobile. The driver of the machine of the body is the individual soul, who is also its director and proprietor. But the supreme proprietor is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One's body is created through the agency of Maya, karmani doiva netrina, and according to one's activities in this life, another vehicle is created, again under the supervision of doivi maya. Doivihi eshi gunamayi mama maya duratyaya. At an appropriate time, one's next body is immediately chosen, and both the individual soul and the super soul transfer to that particular body, machine. This is the process of transmigration. During the transmigration from one body to the next, the soul is taken away by the order carriers of Yamaraj and put into a particular kind type of hellish life, Naraka, in order to become accustomed to the condition in which he will live in his next life. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jananjanan Shalatya Takshuran Militandina Tajmahesh Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shiva Shri Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. So here, Prabhupada said, it is scientific how the soul leaves the body from one body to another. And he's explaining how Krishna is sitting in the heart as the super soul, knowing well that the desires and the karma of the living entity, because he has been with him since time immemorial, since he first entered into the universal cosmos. The super soul has been accompanying him from body to body to body, so he knows very well from the very beginning to the present time the activities and the mentality of the living entity. So he knows perfectly well the results of his activity, what they will be. And so he awards or fulfills his desires when the time and circumstance is right. Then he orders, Krishna is acting through his potency. It says here he orders Devi, his energy, his Maya energy. This living entity, he's leaving his body, or he knows before when he's going to leave it. At this time he will leave, so then he instructs his energy, Maya, that you should fashion a particular type of womb to cater for this living entity's karma. So the material nature goes about that, getting a womb ready for him. And then when everything's ready and the time is right, then Krishna, the super soul, takes the living entity into that next womb, which has been created for him under Krishna's direction through the agency of Maya. So this is how the transmigration takes place. So here it's saying during that time, during transmigration from one body to the next, the soul is taken away by the order carriers of Yamaraj and put into a particular type of hellish life. So here's the evidence here. I never found out where it was stated before. But here, I had heard it before, but here, it's in between transmigrating, your transmigration from one body to another body. In between that time, you go to hell. So, Srimad Bhagavatam, it gives you an example of Vasudev when he's trying to pacify Kamsa, King Kamsa, with philosophy and logic, trying to save the life of Devaki. But he starts telling him about, you know, the temporiness of the body and how the soul is transmigrating, how we're not the body, so why get so upset? So he gives it an example, just as the plant worm or the caterpillar. He's on one branch, one twig, and he's going to the next twig here. So his body like that, and then he reaches over and he puts his front legs on the next branch. When that's firmly fixed, then he lifts up the back legs and puts the back legs on. Then he moves from branch to branch like that. So that movement is, how long does it take a caterpillar to pick up his back legs and put it on the front legs? So when all the arrangements have been made, then Krishna as a super soul, the living entity leaves this body and enters in. So it takes that much time. Or he gives another example, when you're walking on the ground, when you know this foot is, it's on hard, firm ground, then you lift up the other foot. So step by step, when one foot is down, then you lift up the other foot. When that's sound, and so in this way he said the soul is transmigrating. So it's just, here he's saying, it's in between that time of transmigration that you see all these hellish worlds, that you go to hell. So now these hells are described as, you've got to walk down this 80,000 yojana, your one yojana is 8 miles, so 80,000 mile road, burning hot, the, what they call rurus, strange animal. they take birth as, people who do not do the pinda, they do not worship, they offer their forefathers maha-prasadam grains after they die, because they go to see a bit of a hellish planet, they're in a hellish situation. So you offer the maha-prasadam to the forefathers, the pitras, they get delivered from that hellish situation. So those persons whose forefathers, they don't offer the oblations, then they can't get their liberation. So they're angry with their forefathers. So they take birth as rurus. And their business is to give suffering. When you're walking down that 80 yojana mile road, 80,000 mile, being whipped and it's burning hot, and these ruru animals are jumping out, and they got like antelopes, some of the but strange forms. Some description like serpent with antelope horns, but there's different descriptions, different types of rurus. But they're angry because their forefathers didn't, so they take pleasure in really giving people trouble, you know. they didn't do their duty for me, so he's that you're in an angry mood, so let me take it out on others. It's a good job, you know. So like this, they fulfill their angry desires, get this nice job, servants of Yamaraj, helping him punish the. So the experience is, I'm walking down an 80,000 mile road and it's burning hot and all these things are jumping on me and biting me and I'm being whipped and I'm suffering all these hells. The experience is, it is actually a lifetime. When you go up to the top of the mountain and they throw you off into the uneven rocks and you get squished completely, but you don't die. And somehow or another you get that body back again, and they take you up to the top of the mountain and they do exactly the same thing and you're squished. It's going on a long, long time. That's your existence. But it's all It's just like a flash. It's in between that time that the caterpillar lifts up one leg and puts it on the next branch. It's just a few moments. So in this way, this, we often hear from the acharyas or other authorities that the hellish planet is like an imagination or phantasmagoria. So it is. It can be accepted as an imagination because it's just a split, say a few couple of seconds actually. But the experience is real. That I am here for this long. I am staying in these rivers full of pus and stool and urine. And here Prabhupada makes the point that they get put into a particular type of hellish life, naraka, in order to become accustomed to the conditions in which they will live in the next life. So Prabhupada gives the example of the hogs. The hogs, their favorite food is stool. It's their most relishable, especially early morning. It's just hot and fresh. So you have to get out of the way. Sometimes you're in these villages and you have to get out of the way quick because they come charging. That's a fact. So you've been acting like a pig, eating anything and everything and making a big pig of yourself, as they say. And so your activity determines you'll get a pig body in your next life. So you go to this place in this river. It's made full of stool and urine and pus and everything. And you have to start eating this. You're hungry. And you see the other people are eating it there, but you won't eat it at first. I can't do that. But then afterwards, because of hunger, you have to. This is disgusting. Disgusting. But after a couple of days, you think, oh, that one was better than yesterday's one. Better than yesterday. You start discriminating. The moment you discriminate, okay, that's, you got a good mentality. Okay, put in your pig body. Because the pig body is like that. You start discriminating good ones and bad ones. So this is the training that goes on in this the hellish planet. But all this, it's just a flash. But to experience it, you've got to go through it. You've got to suffer. But the idea of kind of waking up, that it's not a really nice place, this material world. Especially the hellish part. I don't want to go through it again. So I said, wake the living entity up so he can get out and go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So, here also we see that the Vishnu Dutas, they're really powerful. The Yamadutas, they come to take the body. Now they're challenging the Vishnu. Who are you? Who are you? What are you doing here? This is our business. This is our purpose. Our service. We're servants of Yamaraj. He is the supreme in this universe. Everybody bows down to him. At death, he's the supreme. He's our order. He's given us the orders, and we have to take these souls. He's a very sinful person. So we're going to take his soul. What right do you have to come and interfere? But the Vishnu Dutas are very powerful. They started ordering with their very resounding voices, deep resounding voices. You leave him alone. He's ours. We're going to take him back to. So so this is the power of the Vishnu Dutas. Now the interesting conversation is going to go on between the Yamadutas and the Vishnu Dutas in the next few verses. And in their understanding of what is religion and things like that, the Vishnu Dutas are questioning, what is your idea of Dharma, what is your idea of religion, things like that. So eventually they put them, give them the proper idea. But the Vishnu Dutas, they don't even care for the Yamadutas. Everybody's scared of the Yamadutas, but the Vishnu Dutas, they're not. They said they're prepared to fight. If you don't want to give that soul, this we're going to, by force, we're going to take him from you. We're going to beat you up. So, as a historical incident, so One, I can't remember the detail. Anyway, one man is coming from the Ganga. He died. Somehow or another, he died. And, he died. I think his master killed him or something. He was behaving wrong. Anyway, he died. Just then, someone was coming from the Ganga and they saw the dead body there. So he had a load of Ganga water, so he sprinkled water on the dead body. What happened next? Anyway, and then someone else came. And they saw all these people walking back. They was all hopping. They had their arms cut off. They're all beat up. And they're all really in a bad state. And what's happened to all these people? Where are they all coming from? And then they saw they were Yamadutas. There's a whole army of them. And so they explained, somehow or another he asked, what happened here? He said, no, this very person, he died. And so we come to, he was our claimant. We had the Yamadutas and his destiny was to go to Yamaraj and see the hell and suffering. So we were pulling him out of his body. And then these Vishnudutas come and said, you can't do that. And they said, no, we're acting under the order of Yamaraj. He's our boss. You're not our boss. You get lost. They said, okay, if it comes to a fight. So they're so powerful, these Vishnudutas. They really beat them up. They bought so many more Yamadutas. But they all got beat up and cut up and killed. And what happened then? He said, well, we wouldn't take that soul, but just at that time, then somebody come along and sprinkled some Ganga jal on that dead body. So for this reason, they became completely purified. This is what the Vishnudutas said. And the Vishnudutas wanted to come and take that soul. This is some story glorifying the potency of Mother Ganga, how powerful Ganga Devi is. Just because he come and sprinkled some Ganga jal, we couldn't take him. Even though he was such a sinful person, we couldn't take him to Yamaraj. Instead, we all got beaten up and killed, and all our men got killed and beaten up. So this is the power of the Yamadutas. the Vishnudutas, they're so much more powerful than the Yamadutas. So that's the idea. We take shelter of Krishna. Remember Krishna. We want the Vishnudutas to come and take us. When we're leaving our body, we don't see the Yamadutas. So this doesn't happen for the devotees if they who have surrendered to Krishna. What else we got here? Prabhupada's pointing out, material scientists, they don't know where to find the soul in the body with the material instruments. They're trying to calculate with the soul or try to find it with material instruments. But you can't do that. That's not possible to see the super soul or the soul even, because they're looking with microscope. They have a very, very powerful microscope to look, see if we can see the soul in the body. But the soul is so small, 1/10,000 size of the tip of the hair. Super soul is even smaller because it sits in the heart of the jiva. But the size of the soul is smaller than the atomic particles that go up to make the lenses of the microscope. So how is it possible to see that the atomic lens particles are bigger than the soul itself? So they won't be able to pick it up. The soul is too small to be seen by any kind of mechanical arrangement, but we get the understanding here that from the Yamadutas, or Krishna saying, and many times in Bhagavad Gita, I'm sitting in the heart with this living entity. Now the Yamadutas, they have experience, because they have to drag the soul, and it's always pointed out that Yamadutas are pulling from the core of the heart. So therefore this is proof that the living entity is living in the heart. Prabhupada also quoted one doctor, I can't remember his name. I think it's Canadian or something. And he said, from my observation, he said, there's something in the heart, because I'm dealing with patients all the time, I'm seeing death all the time. My conclusion, there's something in the heart, because when the heart stops beating, he said, then the living entity is, you know, he's dead. He loses all of his luster and everything. And a few seconds ago, he was okay, and the heart was beating, and then it stopped. That was his conclusion. He said, I called it the ticker. There was something in the heart. I'm calling the ticker. Ticker, tick, tick, tick. Maybe like a clock. But by my experience, I've seen that something appears to leave. You can't see it leave, but something appears to leave. One moment it's there, and then I'm calling it the ticker. But Prabhupada said he is very, very intelligent. He's come to a very good conclusion. He's just by his practical observation and his feeling about it, that something leaves the heart, although they don't see it, they don't see it. The Prabhupada said he is very, very advanced in his awareness. And if actually he's right, it is the heart that the living entity is living in. He does leave through the process of the heart, from the heart. So, Prabhupada liked that scientist. He often used to quote that scientist. Surgeon, he was a heart surgeon. So here it's yantra. Yantra is its machine. The body is a machine. So we're learning this from Bhagavad Gita, that when we leave our body, we should understand this machine. Everything is closing down, but we're not the body. We understand this. It's a machine. No, the breathing is going to get interfered with. The heartbeats are going to. The pulses. The body's just going to wear out. All these things happen. You know, so many. A lot of people, anyway. The body starts to break down, and but if we understand, it's just a machine. Any machine breaks down after a while, doesn't it? You can't keep it forever. Your brand new car, you know, after a few years, you've got to get a new one. So it's like that. It's like a car. It's a machine. So here we have that understanding. It's just a machine. It's going through the process of any other machine. Yeah, it appeared. It'll stay for some time. It'll deteriorate. It'll vanish. So, therefore the consciousness is not on the machine, it's on Krishna. Whereas people who don't have this information, their consciousness is in the body, and what do you say, they're fighting a losing battle. This is the final battle, it's death. But they're fighting a losing battle because their consciousness is in there, and they're trying to stay somewhere or another. But the devotee's body consciousness is not on the body; it's on Krishna, and the holy name of Krishna. So therefore, the devotees, they can transgress the burden. We heard the other day, Dhruva stepped on the head of death personified to get onto the flat Vaikuntha aeroplane. He needed a step to step onto the Vaikuntha aeroplane, so death personified came. You're out of my control, you're out of my jurisdiction, Dhruva. So death personified bowed down, and Dhruva Maharaj used his head as a step to step under the Vaikuntha. This is the position of the devotees. So Krishna consciousness is... the consciousness develops according to the changing body. You see it in a child. When he's got child consciousness, you can't expect much more than that. That's his consciousness. But it changes. As the body changes, you see his consciousness changes. Gets bigger, goes to school. His whole consciousness is different. Gets throughout his life. So the consciousness is developing according to the changing body. But the consciousness shouldn't change according to the changing demands of the body. We shouldn't allow our consciousness to change according to the changing demands of the body. Now our consciousness should be developed as Krishna's eternal servant, develop a spiritual body. We get old, our consciousness changes again. Now we're catering for an old body, what to do, how to get free from all the problems of old age. And this is what's happening. We're putting our consciousness in the body. As the body is changing, the consciousness changes. But this is our process, is to get out of this bodily consciousness. Of the changing body. And the idea is to change our consciousness to develop a spiritual body. So we shouldn't listen to the demands of the changing body, but listen to the demands or instruction from Krishna telling us who we are, what the body is, and change our consciousness to develop a spiritual body so we can become servants of Krishna. So then this solves the whole problem. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question? Yes? Yeah, those who didn't get worship by their forefathers, they didn't get Vishnu Prasadam, or they were neglected. So that Vishnu Prasadam, it frees them from the hellish position, or it takes them to Pitraloka, the planet of the forefathers. It's a heavenly planet, it's near Yamaraj's place actually. And when you go to Pitraloka for worshipping your ancestors nicely, by this process of Shraddha, or offering pinda, offering foodstuffs. But when you die, you're attached to that family, traditions and everything. So then they offer you the pinda, the rice, some grains, prasada, and you go to Pitraloka. And then every year they make that offering, or however often it is. They make the offering of pinda. As long as they offer pinda, you stay up there in Pitraloka. The moment they stop, you come down, you leave. You take birth on the earth planet again. You've seen anywhere in Hindu house or Hindu shop, they got a picture of their grandfather up there or something. Or their father. And then they offer, every morning they offer a little bit of it, dupa or something. Like everywhere you see it. They're propitiating their forefather. Right. Then when the next one dies, you know, they take his grandfather picture off, and they put the next picture up there. So that when you stop offering that worship, that's when he leaves Pitraloka and he comes back again and takes birth. And he takes birth exactly in the same family again. And when he goes back to Pitraloka again, he has the same community. If he's living within this, you have the Patels or the Gwankas or the family group tribes in India, you have the very close family. They take birth exactly with the same relatives in Pitraloka. Maybe not the same bodies, but the same people are there. When they take birth on planet Earth again, they exactly the same family, lineage. They're very much attached. So this goes on up and down, up and down, up and down. Again, the soul is not getting satisfied. So subconsciously, the soul says, I'm not going to find it here in this process of offering Shraddha to the forefathers because it's just up and down, that's all. So again, the soul changes his process of worship, his method of worship, his worshipful deity, he changes and goes on to another process of worship. Because subconsciously the soul said, I'm not satisfied. Even this heavenly planet, or sub-heavenly, still they're not satisfied. So then he goes off to worship some other devata, he changes his mode of worship. So like this, the soul is transmigrating 8,400,000, especially as a human being. So he tries all these different species and different planets, but the soul is dictating within, it's not satisfied. Where is that satisfaction that it's searching for? So he never finds it until he comes to Krishna. Yamaduta. Yeah, they forgot to propitiate him when he left his body. The family didn't do anything. They didn't offer any grains, they didn't... So he's left out in a limbo, you know. So they neglected me and made me suffer, I'll make them suffer. So he becomes Ruru. A lot of suffering. Hare Krishna. Yeah, some souls, they're very much attached. They don't like to leave the body. It's very difficult even for the Yamadutas to get them out. And even when they're out, sometimes they hover. It's difficult to move them because they're attachment to the place and they're just hovering around in a subtle body. Radha Jivan Prabhu, his father, quite some time after he died, he said, he came in his dream and he's saying, where is my Jagannath Prasadam? So Radha Jivan immediately came and did a lot of puja. You can offer some Mahaprasad, Vishnu Prasadam to them. Gopal Bhatta Swami says in the Sakriya Sardipika that he said nowhere in any scripture, in any shastra, it says that you should offer pinda to your forefathers, to offer tarapan, means of offering water. Sankalpadi. It's nowhere mentioned in any shastra that anybody should, who is initiated in a bona fide sampradaya into the names of Krishna, he has no obligation whatsoever to offer to the forefathers and to Pitra Puja and Deva Puja. He has no obligation whatsoever because he is initiated to the holy name of Vishnu and Krishna in bona fide sampradaya. But for the smartest, they're obligated to do that, to propitate their family members. But still the devotees, they offer Krishna prasadam. He said, for the devotees, they worship their father and mother, but when they're alive, they look after them. And when they die, then they offer them Radha Madhava Mahaprasad, something like that. It's, for them it's no problem. They can offer some Mahaprasad. If they do or they don't, it's not a problem. But generally the devotees like to do something, so we have a little condolence meeting, Prabhupada said, when the devotee leaves his body. Glorify the devotee's service. Feed all the devotees, have some Harinam. Feed all the devotees Prasadam. put one plate on the end for the devotee who left his body. And when everybody's, the idea is that he'll, or that devotee will assist in serving, get service to the devotees. And then after everyone's finished, then that plate you put outside, and generally the lower animals, the crows or the cows, will eat it like that. So Prabhupada, you know, he said we can do that also. Because generally we want to do something. Gopal Bhatta Goswami says, someone who does, who worships the demigods or performs his Pitri Puja, he makes Nam Aparad and Seva Aparad. The devotee, because he stops his service to attend to the Kamakanda activity. So he stops his service. What is that? Namaparad? To think that the holy name is equal to Kamakanda activities or worship of demigods. So he makes Namaparad and what's the other one? He stops. Yeah, Namaparad, because he's involving demigods, thinking that he can get the same benefit that is equal to the demigods as the as Vishnu. So he does some Deva Puja or Pitri Puja. So this is the if you follow the smarter rule for a devotee, he said, if a devotee follows these rules, the smarter rules, and actually worships the preachers and actually worships the devatas, then he makes Namaparad and Sevaparad. But if he worships Vishnu and offers a Vishnu prasadam without going through all the different devatas, then it's okay. He's free. So we like to do something, so we have a little ceremony of the Mahaprasad, little festival, Harinam. Srup Damodar Maharaj, when his father left his body, he said, he asked Srila Prabhupada, should I go to Gaya like Mahaprabhu went to Gaya to offer pinda there? And Prabhupada said, not necessary for you. Not necessary. You're a sannyasi, traveling, preaching. Anything outside of that is a step down. Performing ritualistic ceremony is like a step down from you, from bhakti devotional service. Yeah, so he says that, no, the devotees, they serve their parents with love when they're alive, and when they're dead, they offer them Madhama Prasad. That's okay. But not through the smarter ritual, which involves demigods and forefathers. And
Six months is one day.
So that is factual. That is, you do live that for that factual time, 6 months as one day, that experience. And also in the subterranean heavenly planets, that's also factual. You live all that time, but that's nice also. It said that when you fall down from the heavenly planet, the last day you're alive, the death comes. Obviously, the last day you're alive, death comes. No, on the time of your death, when it's time for your death, It's like in one day you get that notice. So it's not like you're going to get old and diseased and suffer. It's all happens in one day. And the feeling you're going to die, and you fall off the planet. That's your last day, so you fall off the planet, and all your friends, oh, look. We're having such a nice time up here. Oh, look, he's fallen off. Oh, he's fallen off. But anyway, it's so nice here, isn't it? And then they just go back to it, and you're completely forgotten. And they just go back to their enjoying. Well, then you're falling down, and there's different rakshasas and different kinds of living here. They come and they start eating you as you're falling through the air at the last meal. And they eat you up, and you're in a lot of pain then, you're suffering. And so much pain, and then you start crying, and the soul comes out with the tears, and that falls down to the earth, and that becomes a grain. Grows as a grain, and then the human eats that, a man eats that, it transforms into semen, and the soul then is injected into the womb of woman, then he's born again, is it? But in that process, sometimes you got some good credit left, some puna left from the heavenly planet. You go down to the swaga, these material heavenly vashas, these vashas, and you pay off some of the what you got left, the remaining from the heavenly planet. So that's the life that you experience. That also you're paying off that however much time you're there. That's in the other heavenly planet, the Vasha. These Vashas are heavenly. So you pay off that, and then after that you take birth as in the earth planet again.
My question
is,
Yes.
No, that factual time is going on. You're experiencing that is factual, but the hellish, the time is experiences, but it's not factual. It's just a glimpse, like that. It's not factual, but it's experience. That's factual. Okay.
Huh? Why they cannot see Paramatma?
He's even smaller.
But he said that it's size.
Yeah. He said he's the size of a thumb. But then that calculation is, how is that? It's soul in an elephant's body and a soul in an ant's body. How can an ant have a size of a thumb? He's millions of times smaller than a thumb. But it mentions that ant's thumb, it's in comparison to the animal, so as big as the ant's thumb, the super soul is in the heart of an ant. It looks like he's as big as his thumb. That's why the yogis, they become smaller than the smallest. They get it, so then they can see the soul, and they can see the soul. Get that city. Yes. You got it? I couldn't. You heard that? Can you repeat it?
Because it is spiritual already. Atma and Paramatma. So there
No. Yeah, it cannot be counted. Finer than the finest. Advoksaja, beyond the material sense perception. Turiya, another dimension. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada ki.